As publications demanded that all final products be presented as digital files that could be uploaded, and there was no longer any more demand for that precious flap art, he transformed himself into an ideas consultant. Ideation was what his clients, including McDonald's and Unilever, wanted. He stopped using pens and ink and would just do pencil sketches, scan them into his computer, color them by using the computer's mouse, and then email them to the client, which would have some less skilled artists finish them. "It was unconscious," said Greer. "I had to look for work that not everyone else could do, and that young artists couldn't do with technology for a fraction of what I was being paid. So I started getting offers where people would say to me, 'Can you do this and just give us the big idea?' They would give me a concept, and they would just want sketches, ideas, and not a finished piece of art. I still use the basic skill of drawing, but just to convey an idea. Quick sketches, not finished artwork. And for these ideas, they will still pay pretty good money. It has actually taken me to a different level. It is more like being a consultant rather than a Jaffa, just another fucking artist. There are a lot of Jaffas out there, so now I am an idea man, and I have played off that. My clients just buy concepts. The Jaffas then do the art in-house or it gets outsourced. They can take my raw sketches and finish them and illustrate them using computer programs, and it is not like I would do it, but it is good enough," Greer said. But then another thing happened. While the evolving technology turned the lower end of Greer's business into a commodity, it opened up a whole new market at the upper end, Greer's magazine clients. One day, one of his regular clients approached him and asked if he could do morphs. Morphs are cartoon strips in which one character evolves into another. So Martha Stewart is in the opening frame and morphs into Courtney Love by the closing frame. Drew Barrymore morphs into Drew Carey. Mariah Carey morphs into Jim Carey. Cher morphs into Britney Spears. When he was first approached to do these, Greer had no idea where to begin. So he went on to Amazon.com and located some specialized software that would empower him to create morphs, bought it, tried it out for a few days, and produced his first morph drawings. Since then, he has developed a specialty in the process, and the market for them has expanded to include Maxim Magazine, More, and Nickelodeon, one a men's magazine, one a middle-aged women's magazine, and one a kids' magazine. In other words, someone invented a whole new kind of sauce to go with the vanilla, and Greer jumped on it. This is exactly what happens in the global economy as a whole. "I was experienced enough to pick these morphs up pretty quickly," said Greer. "Now I do them on my Mac laptop anywhere I am, from Santa Barbara to Minneapolis to my apartment in New York. Sometimes clients give me a subject, and sometimes I just come up with them. Morphing used to be one of those really high-end things you saw on TV, and then they came out with this consumer software program, and people could do it themselves, and I shaped them so magazines could use them. I just upload them as a series of JPEG files. Morphs have been a good business for different magazines. I even get fan mail from kids." Greer had never done morphs until the technology evolved and created a new specialized niche, just when a changing market for his work made him eager to learn new skills. "I wish I could say it was all intentional," he confessed. "I was just available for work and just lucky they gave me a chance to do these things. I know so many artists who got washed out. One guy who was an illustrator has become a package designer. Some have gotten out of the field altogether. One of the best designers I know became a landscape architect. She is still a designer, but changed her medium altogether. Visual people can adapt, but I am still nervous about the future." I told Greer his story fit well into some of the terms I was using in this book. He began as a chocolate sauce, a classic illustrator, was turned into a vanilla commodity, a classic illustrator in the computer age, upgraded his skills to become a special chocolate sauce again, a design consultant, then learned how to become a cherry on top, a morphs artist, by using the new tools of the flat world to fill in a new market niche. Greer contemplated my compliment for a moment and then said, And here all I was trying to do was survive, and I still am. As he got up to leave, though, he told me that he was going out to meet a friend to juggle together. They have been juggling partners for years, just a little side business they sometimes do on a street corner or for private parties. Greer has very good hand-eye coordination. But even juggling is being commoditized, he complained. It used to be, if you could juggle 5 balls, you were really special. Now juggling 5 balls is like just anteing up. My partner and I used to perform together, and he was the 7-ball champ when I met him. Now, 14-year-old kids can juggle 7 balls, no problem. Now they have these books like Juggling for Dummies and kits that will teach you how to juggle. So they've just upped the standard. The Right Stuff, Tubas and Test Tubes. In the past 2 years, I have had a chance to travel around America and speak about globalization and the flat world to many different audiences, from retirees in Palm Springs to high school principals in Bethesda to parents in suburban book clubs. What struck me most was the undertow of concern I found in the country around the issues of education and competition. If I had to summarize that anxiety, I would put it like this. Our parents were sure that they were going to be better off than their parents, and that we, their children, were going to be better off than they were. We, alas, are growing quite concerned that we are not going to retire as well off as our parents did, and our kids probably are not going to be as well off as we were. Everyone seemed to me to be looking for the magic formula that would spare their kids from a future of downward mobility. Twice I had parents ask me a question that went roughly like this. My daughter is studying Chinese. She's going to be okay, right? Well, I would answer, not exactly. Why not exactly? Because there is no magic formula. The only approach to take in a moment like this one is to step back, take a deep breath, and ask, if the strategies detailed in the previous chapter really are the best way for individuals to obtain and retain jobs in the new middle, then, generally speaking, what is the right kind of education to prepare our young people for those jobs? As Princeton economist Alan Blinder perceptively notes, it is clear that the U.S. and other rich nations will have to transform their educational systems so as to produce workers for the jobs that will actually exist in their societies. Simply providing more education is probably a good thing on balance, especially if a more educated labor force is a more flexible labor force that can cope more readily with non-routine tasks and occupational change. But it is far from a panacea. In the future, how we educate our children may prove to be more important than how much we educate them.